Father, as we just take a moment to go to your word, I'm asking that our hearts would be ready to receive it. Lord God, as we look in a day and age where it is said that it's all about us, even catchy little phrases saying it's all about you, when we realize that, Lord God, it's not all about us, it's all about you, about what you're doing in our lives, what you have done for us. And Lord God, as we look at your word today, may it again be applied to our heart that it is not all about us. It is serving you, loving you, allowing you to do what you need to in our lives, and that you would get honor and glory in that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the first 9 verses there this morning as we look at a sermon that I've titled, I Am Third. Everybody, if you kind of see the things going on in the world today, it's not I am third, I am first. It's all about me. You're going to see in God's word this morning that it's not all about us. It never has been, and it never will be. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as your Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Very clearly, we see right from the get-go there that it's not all about us. These are the words of Moses recorded in Deuteronomy to the people of Israel that are being set free from slavery and are heading to the promised land. We see in chapter 20 chapter 5 that verses 20 that you see the Ten Commandments. You see the decrees are given to us. We're told to observe them. We're told to take them to heart. We're told to make memorials that we don't forget. We're told to pass them on to our children. We're told all of these things. And even a good Jew today would take this verse, verses 4 and 5 of this chapter, first thing when he gets up in the morning, he says it. The last thing before he goes to bed is the verse, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I want to tell you this morning, every morning that you get up, you're bombarded with vicious attacks. Can you say amen? I mean, Becky and I have talked about it, you know, almost every morning. Every morning you wake up to chaos and one side fighting the other. You see new evidence. You see new dirt. You see all these things, the right against the left, the liberals against the conservatives, Republicans against Democrats, each claiming to be right. But the bottom line is we're destroying ourselves. Every part of us is destroying ourselves. And sometimes you sit there and even I pray not, but we could be sitting there just waiting. You know, you're saying, but I have the truth that this I'm right because of this. I'm against this because of this, and we're battling, and every morning we get up, and I laugh with Becky, and she says it to me almost every morning. She says, "All I want is the weather," amen. And you know, all I want is the weather. Why do I have to listen to all of this every morning? All I want to know is if it's going to rain today, you know, if I need to water my plants or what I need to bring in, and every day. We go through this, and I got to be honest, every Sunday, every Sunday, I'm in my office praying that God would speak to us and allow us to sense His voice and hear His voice above all of the distractions that are going on, because it's so easy. We can get tied up. You hear it on the news. It affects your whole day. You go to the workplace, and that's all they're talking about. It affects your whole day. And somehow, God isn't in the mix. You just get polluted with all the distractions. Everybody's got a trumpet, you know that? And I don't get me wrong, I love social media, but everyone's got a trumpet. Why does everybody feel like their opinion is the only opinion? If you don't like their opinion, there's something wrong with you. Whatever happened to agree to disagree? Whatever happened to keeping some things quiet just because you don't need to share everything? Only one thing makes me worse on Facebook is everybody telling me when they're going to bed and what they're eating. Who cares? Go to bed when you want to and eat whatever you want to. You don't need to write that down. And I say this, I'm not taking a side on any pressure point or issue right now. I'm not saying they're not important, but I'm telling you this morning, as a body of believers and as the church of God, that we need to be hearing God's voice. We need to be sensitive to what God is saying, and the church universal is not doing a good job of loving the Lord God with all our hearts and our minds and our strength. Yeah, you should say amen this morning, because it's evident. Because we're losing ground on where we're supposed to be. We already know the world doesn't love God, but what about believers? Where are we at in all of this? Why aren't we showing the love of God? And if we are to love God with all our hearts and all our minds, then there can't be other gods. Say amen to that? There can't be other gods. And we have that just, there must be a dead spot there. All of a sudden, whoop, went dead. We already know that. And you look at this verse and you can see that Yahweh is unique. They were so used to so many other gods doing and saying, and you know, if you needed a god of rain, you prayed to somebody. If you needed this, you need that. But Yahweh's unique. He says, I am the only one. I am the God that brought you out of bondage. I'm the God that's taking you to the promised land, and I'm a God that's a jealous God. And I don't want you to have other gods, because I am the true God. Then I got to thinking this week, when I'm driving through town and I'm going too fast and the police stop me, I want you to know something. They don't pull me over because they would love me. They would pull me over because I disobeyed the law, and they would give me a ticket. And I do not go the speed limit because I love them. I go the speed limit because I don't want trouble. And I want to obey the law so I don't get into trouble. But I want you to know something. That's not love. That's not love, and that's, I don't know what that is. That's fear and consequence or something. But loving God is more than just being afraid to do wrong. It's about making sure that you're pleasing God. It's about doing the things that you know please Him, and then what He's asked you to do, and you do it because you love Him. It's not because you're worried about the consequences, but more that you enjoy that you're pleasing God. God has to be first in our lives. And I believe a lot of things are happening to people right now because God has kind of gotten out of the back seat. We see it in government. We see it in every aspect of city and borough and all these other things. And we see it in our lives that God's not first, and He's going to get our attention. And I'm not saying you might be loving God with all your heart and you just might be going through a trial. So don't get me wrong when I say that just because you're going through something that there must be something wrong in your life. That's not what I'm saying. Only God can show you that. I'm saying that God is not first in a lot of people's lives, and we're seeing it. And everything that is within us. Everything that makes us us should be serving God, should be loving God. And we were created to worship. We were created to love God with everything that we have and the void in our lives that is reserved for God. You can't put something else in there. You can't put, just go ahead and try it. You want trials and tribulation and troubles and anxiety and all these other things? Go ahead. Just take that spot in your life, especially if you're a believer, take that spot in your life and put something else before God. And you will see that very quickly that void cannot be filled with anything else. One of the biggest lies, I believe, today is that you can do without God. They don't come right out and say it, but every innuendo says you can do this without God. And I don't believe there is one atheist alive that doesn't have a void in their life and doesn't know that they are running from God in some act. They'll never admit it. So I'll never be able to prove those words except in those that I would know that are atheist. And I see their lives. There's a void in their lives, and they try to fill it with religion. Oh, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute, you just got done saying atheist. But I'm telling you, atheism is a religion. It is a religion. You have a belief in something. So they are trying to fill it with religion, which is the wrong religion, and that void that they're trying to fill is only God can do, and they run into troubles. And I got to tell you, it smells like smoke. And what I mean by that, I think it's from the pits of hell that these things are turning around and happening to people, and the atheists are raising up, and in their anger, they're striking out against the people of God. They're striking out against God. They don't know what to do with that. And when the word tells us to love God with all our hearts, is because he wants us to make sure we're standing firm in his faith, because your heart is the seat of an emotion, of every emotion. It's where decisions are made. It's a place where you let people in and you let people out. Keep them out. Amen? That's your heart. Let's face it. You let God in. God blesses you. He begins to minister in your life. You keep God out. You start to run into some troubles. You let people in because you love them. When they do you wrong, you keep them out so that, you know, that you don't have more problems. It is a place that you make decisions for God. He tugs on your heart. You listen. You see restoration begin. You hear him tugging and feel him tugging, and you don't do anything about it, you're going to have some troubles. Your soul is the part that you surrender to God. It's your very being, a person. You know, I don't know how else to say it. It's your life spot. It's your vitality. It's everything about you. It's where, you know, you will spend eternity somewhere. Amen? It's not about whether you're going to live forever. It's about where you're going to spend eternity. It's about the decisions that we make. It's about your love for God or your lack of love for God that will determine where you're going to spend eternity. And then you talk about loving God with all your strength. Now hang on a second, because this is where I believe it's a God thing. It's a moment, because in our strength and in our talents, and in our abilities, we can only go so far. And when we try to live on just our strengths and abilities and talents, I believe we fall short. In God's strength, especially as a believer, you have unlimited resources to tap into the things of God, to have the strength that God wants to give you, to the strength to give you the ability to get out of some of these circumstances, and we're not tapping into them. We're being bullheaded. We're saying to God, and not just an outright, but we're saying, God, I don't need your help. Heaven and all his resources are available to us. And his word tells us that he wants to give us these things. And humans have this very sinful way of compartmentalizing everything in our lives. I'm going to give you a piece of my heart, but I won't give you all of my heart. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. And we begin to take sections. And then for God to say, I want all of your heart, that's you might as well just say to God, you know, God, I'm not going to give you a smorgasbord. You're not getting all these compartments. I'm going to give you one. And God doesn't work that way. He's not going to allow it. He's, what's that closed door there? Open it up. What's that part of your life that you don't want to share? Open it up. And he begins to do these things. And, you know, we have a terrible thing. Because we think we're good people that occasionally do bad things. We're bad people that do occasionally good things. Because of our sin nature. And outside of God, we miss the mark, we miss the boat, and you miss all of the things that God wants to do because we're trying to just compartmentalize again. I'm not as bad as this person. I give a little bit to God. I do this, I do that. You say, oh, wait a minute, Pastor, you're talking all Old Testament stuff. Well, let me give you one from Matthew then. Matthew 22, 36. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. We are to love God with all our heart, and we are to love others like we love ourselves. There are really some people in the world, they love themselves, don't they? They're full of themselves. You can't hardly talk to them because they're so loving of themselves. We are to love God with all our heart and others as ourselves. And the only way I can explain is this. If you had a need, you would meet it or try to meet it. If you had a hurt, you would try to have it healed. If you wanted something, you would go after it. And what I'm saying by loving others is if you see a need and you can meet it, we have a responsibility to do it. If there's hurting and you could help somebody and they're hurting, then we have a responsibility to make an attempt to be a blessing. When we're loving God the way that we're supposed to love God, all of that begins to flow down. And we'll see it in the church. We'll see it in families. We'll see it in communities because the trickle-down effect works for God. Because when we're loving God the way we're supposed to, it begins to go down the line. 613 laws they created that if they would have got the first 10 right that God gave them, they'd never have to worry about them. Matthew 5:20 says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and then the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. See, the essence of the law shows us that we need God. Do you understand that? And the world don't grab onto that. The essence of the law is not to tell us how good we are. It's to point to us how bad we need God and that he's wanting to be there. We can't clean ourselves up good enough to please God, but it's okay. God will still take us. We cannot love God and others with a lukewarm, dried up faith that does, or looking at a faith that doesn't change our lives, so we definitely, it's not going to be a part to change somebody else's. He is first, and we will see others, and these other things fall into place. We don't put God first, and we'll see chaos. We'll see turmoil. We'll see bad decisions being made. The starting point is putting God first. Most all of the conversations I have with people that are struggling, well, where's God in all of this? And most all of them will say, you know I need God, but I just haven't been to church. I haven't been praying. I haven't been reading my Bible. And I begin to tell them, the start is putting God first. Making time for God. Checking into his word. You know how many people are praying for God to give them an answer, but if they would open up their Bible, the answer is there? He's already said it. He's already given us some answers. And yet we don't open it up and we wonder where God is and why he's not responding. And sometimes if we would hear an audible voice, I already gave you the answer. You just didn't like it yet. When you get to the point where you like the answer, then do it and you'll be all right. Religion doesn't cut it. We saw it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see the Levite, you see the good Jew, all walking past the man that needed help, not willing to help because of their religious rituals and all the other reasons why they couldn't help this man. And you see a good Samaritan. You see the Samaritan stop and help someone. Religion is not the answer unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers. You'll not enter the kingdom of God. We don't like that God wants first in our lives. We don't like when we're struggling to be told that you just need more of God. The greatest showing of God's love is what he did on the cross for us, each and every one of us. And if he did nothing else, it would be enough. And I want you to know, when God says love covers a multitude of sins, it's because we're entering into his presence. We're allowing God to do something in our lives. And religion never does that. When a preacher says he don't like religion, then everybody just eyes get big because they don't get it. They don't understand about a relationship because they're not there. They don't understand that we're not promoting religion. We're not promoting rituals. We're promoting a relationship with God that changes people's lives. And then I look back, and churches used to have what they called joy clubs, you know, Jesus, others, and yourself, and small groups. And that is such a struggle to get somebody to come on Sunday morning, let alone telling them that you need to be in a small group. You need that setting where you're looking at God's word. You need that setting where you're gathering with somebody of like-minded faith for a few minutes, and they look at you like a deer in the headlights, that they don't get it. They miss out on that. The greatest example of serving others is found in Jesus Christ. It's what he did. We are to be Christ-like. The greatest person that I believe walked this earth with the Apostle Paul that showed that. And we see his examples in Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and many others. But you know who makes the biggest impact or has made the biggest impact in your life? Those that have done that for you. The Mother Teresas of your life, the Billy Grahams of your life, the people that stepped in and decided that they were going to invest in you. And pretty soon those were the people that you'll remember. Those are the people that will be your cloud of witness. And one day we're going to stand before God and answer the simple question of who we influenced. Who did we mentor? Who were we Christ-like to? And I believe society today is going to have a heck of a time answering that, because they're going to stand before God and not be able to give a good account of what they did. We cannot give what we don't have. So, you know, this preacher's not saying you got to invest every money that you have, give to somebody else, or all your toys or whatever else. You cannot give what you don't have, but God wants us to invest what he's invested in us to others. That'd be a good place to say amen. I want to be a cloud of witness. You know, I want to stand there before God, and I look forward to seeing those that were mentoring in my life. Amen. Those that were there, that went ahead of us and that made such an impact on our lives. And I can't wait to see those that I found out who I've been a part of and you know, being a blessing and seeing their, you know, all the things that went on. How many know that you won't even know what blessings that you did for someone until we stand before God? All the word of encouragement that you gave, the buying of a hamburger at McDonald's or whatever it is, we have no idea what you did that made a difference in somebody else's life. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. That would be the trumpets. That would be the distractions and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here the writer of Hebrews exhorts and tells us two things. We're to remove everything that would hinder us and keep us from being Christ-like, the sins that are in our lives, the distractions that are in our lives. And second, we are to preserve patiently enduring all things until God brings these things to pass, until we grow and are nurtured in our faith. And James reminds us that, you know, that strength is in our faith brings us maturity. I believe part of our maturity is knowing our strengths. You say amen to that? And using them. And it, you know, not believing the lie of the devil that says that you're no good, that you can't do anything for the kingdom of God. The lie that, you know, this is all there is. Live life to the fullest. I want God first in my life. I'd love to see it in the life of the church. I pray that is a turnaround in our lives, that we really get the mindset when we enter into church that God's first. You know, really, to be honest, once the worship team begins to play, all conversation should stop. All thoughts of getting your grocery list, what you're going to do after, where you're going to eat, you know, I got to get gas before I do this, or whatever you need to do. When the worship team begins to pray, play, that we should instantly be going to prayer and centering in on God, wanting God to do these things in our lives. And I want to tell you something, being third, God first, people second, you third, that's not a bad thing. I tell you what, that is the blessing of being third. Because God will, you're doing the things that God wants you to do. You're accomplishing all the things that God wants. And God brings order to chaos when he is first. And my thought in this, and I wrap this up here, is in our time, in our thoughts, in our money, in our body, in our pleasures, in all the toys, in our relationships. My question to you is this. Which one of these things is God tugging on you this morning? And are you going to be listening? Which one of those things is he tugging? If it's time, redeem it. And if it's selfishness, if you had to stand there before the Lord and you said, you know what, you're thinking it's all about you, then this morning I would encourage you, as he's tugging your heart, to just confess it to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. If it's a habit, then kill it today. Amen. If it's a habit, then kill it and ask God to take it from you. If it's bitterness and anxiety or whatever it is, ask God to take it this morning. Being overwhelmed, frustrated. Anybody? Hey, I'm getting pretty good at that word. You guys remember, that word used to stump me. Just dawned on me. That came right out without any troubles. For the longest time, I even used a different word so I wouldn't have to say that word. Confused. Maybe this morning you even feel dead inside. For some, maybe you're on your last nerve. Anybody? On your last nerve concerning things. What's he saying to you this morning? What does he want to say to you? How are you going to respond to that? God says, you shall have no other gods before me. Maybe he's tugging at your heart this morning, telling you know what? This is in my spot. You need to do something about that. You know, I think of Peter when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter went all of of course. Asked him twice. And feed my sheep. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. I pray that it touched each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, that, Lord Jesus, you would take a moment and tug on our heart in areas of our life where you're not first. Bring it to our attention. Illuminate it to us. And allow us an opportunity, Lord God, to put you where you belong. On the throne of our heart. Not in a back compartment of it, but all of our heart. ask that you would not only speak to us this morning, but provide a way for us to hear and respond to your word. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.